Imagine attempting to present as evidence in a court of law the writing on some stone tablets that you claimed were given to you by God the night before.
Objection! Sustained.
Where stringent rules of evidence apply, mythology has no place. So intelligent people would have to conclude that the answer to the question, who chose the chosen people, must be the chosen people chose themselves. Not long ago, the Jewish writer Gideon Levy wrote a piece entitled Jewish People Are Just That, People and Far From Chosen, which was critical of how literally many Jews take this overt statement of superiority. But in conclusion he wrote, we should of course continue to read the prayer, You have chosen us. It is part of the Jewish heritage. It is also perceived by many people who are not Jewish, and therefore not chosen, as an insult. If you teach young people that they are superior, then that is what they will think they are, and they will act accordingly. It is little use trying to tell them otherwise after the damage has been done, and this kind of thing is not helpful either. Quote, Goyim were born only to serve us. Without that, they have no place in the world, only to serve the people of Israel. And it is quite clear that these prominent Israelis have not been falling over each other to distance themselves from this detestable person. And when Benjamin Netanyahu spoke these words to a joint session of the United States Congress,
no distortion of history could deny the 4,000-year-old bond between the Jewish people and the Jewish land.
It was quite evident that the mythology of ancient prior possession was quite acceptable to his audience as the dominant factor in Israel's expansionist plans. Is it because so many Zionist Jews really do believe that they have a God-given right to rule that so many countries are awash with influence-peddling organizations such as Friends of Israel and IPAC and are dominated by Jewish ownership of the news media? Yet despite all that, Jewish commentators are forever complaining about a rise in anti-Semitism, claiming it is a surrogate emotion for Zionist Israel's appalling treatment of the Palestinians and disregard for its Arab neighbors. But the fact is that these feelings are aimed at Zionist Israel, and for very good reasons. They are not anti-Jew per se. But in this blatant admission, a former Israeli minister explains how the deception works.
It's a trick. We always use it. When from Europe somebody is criticizing Israel, then we bring up the Holocaust. When in this country people are criticizing Israel, then they are anti-Semitic. And the organization is strong and has a lot of money, and their attitude is Israel, my country, right or wrong.
Such duplicity is outrageously dishonest and echoes the Mossad's infamous slogan, by way of deception, thou shalt do war. Speaking of which, who does Netanyahu think he is deceiving with his accusation that Iran was sending bombers to target Israelis in India, Bulgaria and Thailand? At a time when there is so much Iran bashing going on, for its leaders to offend the few trading partners it has left makes no sense at all. But look at the similarity between these security camera shots of the alleged London 77 bombers and of the alleged Bangkok bombers, who someone was thoughtful enough to make sure were caught on unspecified security cameras. Anyone who doesn't think it possible that these three men could be Iranian dissidents who were recruited by Israeli agents to carry out a false flag attack in Bangkok isn't thinking. Remember, by way of deception, thou shalt do war. And here's another possible future scenario. The antiquated nuclear-powered aircraft carrier USS Enterprise, scheduled to do some Iran baiting near the Straits of Hormuz, could easily be sunk by a few Israeli torpedoes and the sinking blamed on Iran. For the sand has already been laid down by the Zionist-controlled mainstream media that Iran is the problem, and scenes like this prove that what the American public is told, the vast majority of the American public believes. Yet the accusations that Iran is developing nuclear weapons are not supported by any definitive evidence from either the CIA or the IAEA, as even Leon Panetta admitted.
Are they trying to develop a nuclear weapon? No, but we know that they're trying to develop a nuclear capability.
Damned if you do, damned if you don't, while these vicious grown-up bully boys and girls financed to their lofty positions by tainted money, pile sanction upon sanction on Iran because it might dare to develop its own nuclear deterrent against Israel's rampant aggression. Yet they all know, thanks to this man, that Israel has had nuclear weapons at least since the mid-1970s, but will not openly admit to it. While Iran, which has attacked no other nation in living memory, is made the subject of distortion upon distortion.
Its president denies the Holocaust and threatens to wipe Israel off the map.
Iran's leaders deny the Holocaust of the Jewish people, while calling for the annihilation of the Jewish state.
These men, whose standards of honesty should be impeccable, have misrepresented certain statements made by Iran's president. When applied to the Jewish Holocaust, the emotive words denial and denier are deliberately misused. Compare that with the Titanic disaster. When doing research to find out why it happened and who was to blame, no one is accused of denying that the ship sank or that many people died. So why is research into the Holocaust illegal in Austria, Belgium, the Czech Republic, France, Germany, Israel, Lithuania, Poland, Romania, Slovakia, and Switzerland? If it is unlawful for over 250 million Europeans to question details of the Holocaust, it must mean that there are some things that the Zionists do not want the unchosen people to know about. And these were not mere distortions, they were both lying.
And threatens to wipe Israel off the map.
While calling for the annihilation of the Jewish state.
The authentic translation is, this regime occupying Jerusalem must vanish from the page of time. It is bad enough when the leaders of nations tell deliberate lies, but far worse when their policies follow the guidelines laid down in a document like this. Prepared by these Zionist neocon proponents of aggression and greed, it concentrates on maintaining the military strength necessary to ensure that the natural resources of other nations remain under American control. The document includes these chilling words. Further, the process of transformation, even if it brings revolutionary change, is likely to be a long one, absent some catastrophic and catalyzing event like a new Pearl Harbor. Whether prophecy or foreknowledge, long before the events of 9/11, the United States led an act of international terrorism which is almost beyond belief. In the aftermath of Operation Desert Storm, trade sanctions aimed at punishing one man included banning the sale of many life-saving drugs, which resulted in the deaths of at least 500,000 Iraqi children.
We have heard that 500,000 children have died. I mean, that's more children than died in Hiroshima. And you know, is the price worth it?
I think this is a very hard choice, but we think the price is worth it.
Worth what? Where on earth do people learn to do calculations that balance the suffering of little children against what they obviously consider to be some greater good? In church? Or in a synagogue? Yet now, 20 years after those 500,000 Iraqi children were allowed to die, Israeli officials are openly talking about causing mass starvation, high rates of malnutrition, and a lack of medical supplies to force Iran to stop doing what Iran is already not doing. The number of Iraqi children virtually murdered by sanctions epitomized a grotesque biblical concept, and now Israel wants it repeated on Iran.
For I, the Lord, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me.
People who believe in that kind of claptrap are not averse to doing a little hating at ground level either, and show no compassion for the lives and feelings of those who are, according to them, unchosen. And this sort of Israeli behavior has been virtually continuous since the Nakba. 64 years of desperate Palestinian hope, buoyed up, then crushed by countless United Nations resolutions which have come to nothing. Blocked or sabotaged because the most powerful nation in the world is Zionist-controlled. Yet Benjamin Netanyahu, when addressing the U.S. Congress, stated,
"This is real democracy,"
which could not be further from the truth. America is not a democracy, it is a bribocracy, in which the people who chose themselves are doing the choosing for everyone else. The United States is controlled by Zionists for the advancement of Zionism in a self-perpetuating feedback loop which ensures that American taxpayers are paying for their own political enslavement as well as for the ethnic cleansing of what used to be Palestine. Ask yourself this. Having seen what Israel has done and continues to do to the Palestinians, stealing their land, bulldozing their homes, destroying their orchards, their olive groves, ruining their agricultural land, walling them in and threatening them on a daily basis, killing their children, viciously breaking up peaceful demonstrations, why would anyone want to be a friend to the people who are perpetrating these crimes against humanity? There are two possible answers to that question. Those who accept such behavior without batting an eyelid are sociopaths themselves, or those who accept such behavior and who are not sociopaths are being pressured into turning a blind eye to the atrocities and injustices being perpetrated by nuclear Zionist Israel against the Palestinians. And these people are perfectly willing to keep that blind eye turned while Israel attempts to coerce the United States into punishing Iran for something that it is not doing, but which Israel did about 40 years ago, develop nuclear weapons so it can threaten anyone it feels like threatening. The reasons why we are now living in this insane world of international double standards can be explained using two words. The first one is bribery. The offering, giving, receiving, or soliciting of something of value for the purpose of influencing the action of an official in the discharge of his or her public or legal duties. The second word is coercion, the practice of forcing another party to behave in an involuntary manner by using threats or intimidation. The emotive words in the Declaration of Independence, "We hold these truths to be self-evident," refer to the existence of an innate sense which resides in all decent people, an instinct about what is right and what is wrong. No matter the nuances within the laws which govern election campaign contributions, lobbying, and the propriety of its politicians, it is self-evident that for a foreign nation to hold total sway over the legislative body of the most powerful nation on earth must be wrong. When an excess of Zionist organizations exists across the globe, led by IPAC, which has been called Israel's fifth column in Washington, what methods other than bribery and coercion would reward the Prime Minister of Israel with 29 standing ovations when his perpetual stance is one of aggression and seeming total lack of understanding as to why his nation is regarded by just about anyone who is not being bribed or coerced into supporting the pariah state of Zionist apartheid Israel as the biggest troublemaker in the world today? To understand the consequences of this craven groveling, hearken not unto Netanyahu's words, rather look upon some of his nation's recent deeds and juxtapose them with the almost unanimous approval of the United States Congress.
Zaytun, flattened by Israeli bulldozers. But in this house, they'd herded 100 members off the Samuni clan. And then they shelled it, killing 49 of them.
Gaza, white phosphorus, dropped on a civilian population causing death, blindness, and other horrendous injuries. May 2010, murder in the Mediterranean. The attack on the Freedom Flotilla attempting to break the illegal siege of Gaza. Out of a multitude of nationalities on board the Mavi Marmara, 9 men, all Turkish, were gunned down in what must have been targeted assassinations. 19-year-old Furkan Dogan, an American citizen of Turkish descent, was shot once in the chest and 4 times in the head. Do I need to continue?